Parents want to give their children the best start in life. But what exactly does this mean when it comes to good health? Despite our best efforts, we're facing an epidemic of allergic diseases in children and then of other non-communicable diseases such as obesity and diabetes in later life. Research into early life suggests that risks associated with a modern lifestyle, such as unhealthy dietary patterns, altered patterns of microbial exposure, smoking and other environmental pollutants, induce changes in development that can have a long-term impact on later health and the risk of disease. Today on Drive Time Medical, I'm talking to Dr. Tosh Stanley. Tosh is in Wellington in New Zealand at the School of Medicine at the University of Otago in Wellington. And we're talking about the concept of early life nutritional programming and the potential long-term health benefits that this can provide. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Now, Tosh, can you explain what's meant by early life nutritional programming?
Yeah, well, this means this is the effect of early exposure, both in pregnancy and after birth of a baby, to organisms that are beneficial or not beneficial, and also different nutritional substances that may make a difference to the baby's long-term health, not just into adulthood, but even into old age.
So are you saying that early life nutritional programming has the potential to reduce the risk of perhaps developing obesity and maybe cardiovascular disease later in life?
Indeed. Those are the two sorts of things that have been described in babies who grow at the wrong speed, for example. Both the rate of obesity and the rate of cardiovascular disease is higher in babies who have too rapid weight gain early on. But we also recognise that these things are also commoner in babies whose growth inside the womb is inadequate. So the growth-restricted babies also have a higher rate of those things, and that's now been known for about 40 years. Very exciting work.
Given that, is there a potential to actually prevent the current epidemic, say, of allergy in children by early nutritional concepts?
Yes, indeed, we've been involved with research in this area, as you may be aware, where we've been altering the baby's exposure to germs before they're born and after birth, where we give them a particular sort of healthy germ, and we trialled a couple of different healthy germs, and one of them actually reduced the rate of eczema in those babies by 50%. That was a particular lactobacillus, and another organism, which was a bifidobacterium, did very little at all. And at 6 years of age, the babies who received that lactobacillus also had less in the way of positive skin prick tests. So we think we've actually reprogrammed those babies. They only received this organism for the first 2 years of life, and at 6 years, they're still behaving completely differently as children to the other children. So we do think that early exposure to organisms can really have long-lasting effect. And this is very exciting because it means even if you have a genetic propensity to something, you may be able to alter your risk of developing a disease which you're genetically programmed to have.
Now, wow, that's extremely interesting. The biodiversity of microbes in the gut has such wide health consequences. Give me the good evidence for that.
Well, as I said, the different organism we were using made a big difference to whether the babies went on to get eczema or not. And that was a big surprise to everyone because in the old days people thought, well, any old probiotic will probably work. Now we realize it's not just one particular probiotic, but actually it's the subspecies, and it's not just the subspecies, it's the sub-subspecies, and it's also the amount of the probiotic you're exposed to and whether you're getting it through the breast milk or through your mother. We think now that probably the main part, the main way probiotics work is before the baby's born with a mother receiving it. Then we also recognize that it's important that the germ grows as well as possible, and that relies on the germ having the right food. And we know that breast milk, for example, contains special foods for germs that are called oligosaccharides, and those are carbohydrates that aren't absorbed. They just stay inside the baby's gut. That's why babies who are breastfed have much softer poos than bottle-fed babies in general, because they're feeding these healthy bacteria that are keeping the stool soft. And it seems that you need to pick the right ones of those oligosaccharides, those prebiotics, if you want the right sort of organism. This is very much in its infancy because at present there aren't that many prebiotics available commercially, and so some have been tried, and there's been a little bit of an exciting work there, but this area is very much in its infancy.
Okay, now we've talked about beneficial bacteria, probiotics, and now I notice you've mentioned prebiotics. Let's hone down on the difference between pre biotics and probiotics?
Okay. So a probiotic is an organism that is healthy, that seems to have some health benefits. But as I said, these organisms also need to have the right food. So prebiotics are these non-digestible things, and for example, the ones we've mentioned are the ones in breast milk, the oligosaccharides in breast milk, but you also get them in fiber. They help the bacteria to be healthy. You probably know that a high-fiber diet is really, really good for you.
Yes.
And we think one of the ways that's working is through this.
Now, you've already mentioned it, but let's once again hone down, this time on the benefits of the prebiotic and the probiotic.
Okay. So we'll start with the prebiotics first. They've shown a little bit of benefit, reducing perhaps the rate of some allergic signs, perhaps reducing, more excitingly maybe, the rate of infections with some viruses. And they have followed these children through to middle childhood, and there's been some suggestion that maybe these infants have less in the way of respiratory symptoms like runny noses and itchy eyes. But the studies so far are very small, and we really need a lot more work in that area.
Yes.
But I think that from a point of view of the prebiotics, one needs to pick the right situation, what you're trying to prevent, and select your patients carefully. And so probiotics, well, the benefits there are really exciting, and they go across the whole phase of life. There's much more information about that. We now have very good evidence that probiotics will prevent premature babies getting a dreadful condition called necrotizing enterocolitis, which can kill them. It's an inflammation of the bowel. And virtually all units in New Zealand now, and I think Australia also, are now giving routine probiotics to all very premature babies, so that they're all getting them. We have some good data to suggest that probiotics may prevent and treat infant colic, whatever that is. We have evidence that probiotics will reduce eczema. That's very good evidence on that. There is good evidence that probiotics will prevent antibiotic-associated diarrhea. There is some evidence to link probiotics and protecting against diabetes. We've started a new study now where we're giving probiotics to women from before 16 weeks pregnancy. We're using the same lactobacillus we used in our last study. And we're giving it all the way through pregnancy and as long as the mother's breastfeeding. But we're not giving it to the baby at all. And we're hoping to see a perhaps cure of allergy in those babies if they're exposed from very early on in pregnancy. So that work is ongoing at the moment in Wellington and Auckland.
Tosh, what therefore are synbiotics?
Oh, synbiotic is the name. It's a name that means a mixture of probiotics and prebiotics. And this is all getting very complicated now. So this is where you try and mix the two and use the right prebiotic for that particular probiotic. And it is in its infancy.
Tosh, we know that breast milk is a very complex biological fluid and that breast is certainly best. However, if a mum can't or will not breastfeed, how can we help her to provide her infant with the best start in life?
If you're going to give a baby a formula, you want to try and get it as close to breast milk as you can. And these carbohydrates that I talked about, these oligosaccharides, they make up 40% of the carbohydrate content of the breast milk. So that's not in there for fun. That's in there for a very important reason, that with our evolution, we've realized that feeding those germs, which is what those things are for, is really, really important. So getting a formula that contains prebiotics, if you're going to bottle feed a baby, sounds like a really good idea, especially until the baby's established on fiber and other things that can feed those organisms. And there are formula manufacturers now who are trying to combine the two, and I think there's several coming out in the near future, very exciting, where they have mixed the right prebiotic with the right probiotic that matches the two. And I think you watch the space, it's going to be very interesting.
Natosh, can you highlight some of the take-home messages for our GP audience?
So the take-home message here is, first of all, yes, probiotics really do work. Yes, they really are important. That the early nutritional experiences that we have as a result of our exposure to things like probiotics and prebiotics and the appropriate feeding of babies is vital to your long-term health. That's the second message. And the third message is that there are formulas around now which can try and address a little bit of this problem of this vacuum we've created with a too sterile world.
Tosh, at the conclusion of this interview, is there one thing that you'd like to tell those of us in the front line, our GP audience, that they should be taking away with them?
I think it's the recognition now that there is very good evidence that early deleterious experiences in an infant's life have long-term consequences, and that we do have the potential to alter those outcomes for children, and that is important for us as a whole, as a population.
Tosh, an absolutely fantastic interview. Thank you so much for joining me on Drive Time Medical.
It's my pleasure.
This interview was proudly supported by Danone Nutrition Early Life Nutrition.